जगत गुरु शिल पार की जय श्री मां भागवत मां प्राण की जय ओ प्रेमान
हरि हरि बोल
ऑल द इस समद बोल
हरे कृष्णा
ऑल द इस समद बोल
हरे कृष्णा
ऑल द इस समद बोल
हरे कृष्णा
ऑल द इस श्री गुरु
श्री गुरु ऑल द इस लॉर्ड श्री श्री गुरु श्री गुरु ऑल द इस श्री गुरु भगवान नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्री राम महाविष्णु स्वामी श्री राम लॉर्ड श्री गुरु
भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो 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 भगवते वासुदेवाय
नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत् नास्ता प्रयेषु भद्रेषु नित्यां भागवत
सेवया
भागवदीयतां श्लोके Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest. Let us offer our respectful obeisances on the personality of God and Narayan, on the Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, on the Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and on the Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering services unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome in the heart becomes practically restored almost to nil, and transcendental loving service unto the glorious Lord, whose praise of transcendental hymns comes into being established as an irrevocable fact. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text Number 35. In the book. Sapadi.
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 Sakivacha,
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 Nishamya,
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 Madhye,
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 Nija,
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 Harayo,
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 Malayo,
Harayo,
Malayo,
Harayo,
Ratam,
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 Nivesha,
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 Shittavati,
Shittavati,
Shittavati, अस्तु
अस्तु
सपारि साकी वचो निशम्य माजे
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 निज परयो बलयो रतम निमेषा
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 स्थितवति परत Sanityayor Krishna
Sthitavati para Sanityayor Krishna
Sthitavati para Sanityayor Krishna
Sthitavati para Sanityayor Krishna Krishna.
Pritavati Pata Sakirate Mamastu.
Pritavati Pata Sakirate Mamastu.
Pritavati Pata Sakirate Mamastu.
Pritavati Pata Sakirate Mamastu.
Sapadi Saki Machone Shamyamati.
Sapadi Saki Machone Shamyamati.
Sapadi Saki Machone Shamyamati.
Sapadi Saki Machone Shamyamati.
Ninja Parayo Parayo Ritam Nivesha.
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 Sthitavati Parashani Gayo Krishna.
Sthitavati Parashani Gayo Krishna.
Sthitavati Parashani Gayo Krishna.
Sthitavati Parashani Gayo Krishna.
Sthitavati Pata Sakirate Namastu.
Sthitavati Pata Sakirate Namastu.
Sthitavati Pata Sakirate Namastu.
Sthitavati Pata Sakirate Namastu.
Sapadi Saki Vacho Nishamnimaje.
Sapadi Saki Vacho Nishamnimaje.
Nija Parayo Balayo Rukam Nivesha.
Nija Parayo Balayo Rukam Nivesha.
Sthitavati Parasani Kayo Krishna.
Sthitavati Parasani Kayo Krishna.
Ritavati Pata Sakirate Namastu.
Ritavati Pata Sakirate Namastu.
Krishna. Missing the R. It sounds a little similar. Krishna.
Sapadi Saki Vacho Samyamaje. Nija Parayo Parayo Ratam Nivesha.
Sapati Parashtanina Kayo Krishna.
Sitavati Parasani Kayo Krishna.
Sitavati Pata Sakirate Namastu.
Sitavati Pata Sakirate Namastu.
Sapadi Saki Vachane Samyamadye.
Sapadi Saki Vachane Samyamadye.
Nija Pareyo Pareyo Ritam Nivesha.
Nija Pareyo Pareyo Ritam Nivesha.
Sitavati Parasana Kayo Krishna.
Sitavati Parasana Kayo Krishna.
Sitavati Pata Sakirate Namastu.
Sitavati Pata Sakirate Namastu.
Sapadi Saki Vachane Samyamadye.
Sapadi Saki Vachane Samyamadye.
Nija Parayo Parayo Ratam Nivesya.
Nija Parayo Parayo Ratam Nivesya.
Sitavati Parasanya Kayo Krishna.
Sitavati Parasanya Kayo Krishna.
Sitavati Parta Saki Rate Mamastu.
Sitavati Parta Saki Rate Mamastu.
Sapadi Saki
Vacho Samyamaje.
Nija Parayo Parayo Ratam Nivesha.
Sitavati Parasani Kayo Krishna.
Sitavati Parasani Kayo Krishna.
Sitavati
Parasani
Padi.
Padi.
On the battlefield.
On the battlefield.
Sakti Vacha.
Sakti Vacha.
Command of the friend.
Vishamya.
Vishamya. After hearing.
After hearing.
Madhye.
Madhye.
In the midst.
In the midst.
Nija.
Nija.
His own.
Harayo.
Harayo. And the opposite party. Balayo.
Balayo.
Strength.
Strength.
Ratam.
Ratam.
Chariot.
Chariot.
Vivesha.
Vivesha.
Having entered.
Having entered.
Sthitavati.
Sthitavati.
While staying there.
While staying there.
Parasaniki.
Parasaniki.
Parasainika.
Parasainika.
of the soldiers on the opposite side.
Of the soldiers on the opposite side.
Ayu.
Ayu.
Duration of life.
Duration of life.
Krishna,
Krishna,
by looking over,
Uttavati,
act of diminishing,
Pata,
of Arjuna, son of Prita, Kunti,
Saki,
unto the friend, Rati, intimate relation,
Mama,
my,
Astu,
let there be. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In obedience to the command of his friend, Lord Shri Krishna entered the arena of the battlefield of Kurukshetra between the soldiers of Arjuna and Duryodhana. And while there, he shortened the lifespans of the opposite party by his merciful glance. This was done simply by his looking at the enemy. Let my mind be fixed upon that Krishna. Please repeat. In obedience to the command of his friend.
In obedience to the command of his friend.
Lord Shri Krishna entered the arena.
Lord Shri Krishna entered the arena
of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Between the soldiers of Arjuna and Duryodhana. And while there he stood.
And while there he shortened the lifespans of
the opposite party. By his merciful glance. This was done simply by his looking at the enemy. Let my mind be fixed upon that Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita 1:21-25, Arjuna ordered the infallible Lord Shri Krishna to place his chariot between the phalanxes of the soldiers. He asked him to stay there until he had finished observing the enemies he had to face in the battle. When the Lord was so asked, he at once did so, just like an order carrier. And the Lord pointed out all the important men on the opposite side, saying, here is Bhishma, here is Drona, and so on. The Lord, being a supreme living being, is never the order supplier or order carrier of anyone, whatever he may be. But out of his causeless mercy and affection for his pure devotees, sometimes he carries out the order of a devotee like an awakened servant. By executing the order of a devotee, the Lord becomes pleased, as a father is pleased to carry out the order of his small child. This is possible only out of pure transcendental love between the Lord and his devotees. And Bhishma Deva was quite aware of this fact. He therefore addressed the Lord as the friend of Arjuna. The Lord diminished the duration of the life of the opposite party by his merciful glance. It is said that all the fighters who assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained the salvation by personally seeing the Lord at the time of death. Therefore, his diminishing the duration of life of Arjuna's enemies does not mean that he was partial to the cause of Arjuna. Factually, he was merciful to the opposite party because they would not have attained salvation by dying at home in the ordinary course of life. Here was a chance to see the Lord at the time of death and thus attain salvation from material life. Therefore, the Lord is all good, and whatever he does is for everyone's good. Apparently it was for the victory of Arjuna, his intimate friend, but factually it was for the good of Arjuna's enemies. Such are the transcendental activities of the Lord, and whoever understands this also gets salvation after quitting this material body. The Lord does no wrong in any circumstances because he is absolute, all good at all times. Suparisaki vachoni shamyamade nija parayo balayo ratam nadesha titavati parasani kayo kisna ritavati patasaki rate namastu. In obedience to the command of his friend, Lord Shri Krishna entered the arena of the battlefield of Kurukshetra between the soldiers of Arjuna and Duryodhana. And whilst there, he shortened the lifespans of the opposite party by his merciful glance. This was done simply by his looking at the enemy. Let my mind be fixed upon that Krishna. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Agyana Gana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Marombistam Chapitam Yina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gata Mayam Datati Svam Batantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So this is the passing away of Bhishma Dev in the presence of the Lord. So previously we heard, on the battlefield where Sri Krishna attended Arjuna out of friendship, the flowing hair of Lord Krishna turned ashen due to the dust raised by the hoofs of the horses. And because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these decorations, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by him. Let my mind thus go unto Sri Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport of that, that the Lord is the absolute form of eternity, bliss and knowledge. As such, transcendental loving service of the Lord in one of the five principal relationships, namely Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Matsalya and Madhurya, mutuality, servitudeship, fraternity, filial affection and conjugal love, is graciously accepted by the Lord when offered to the Lord in genuine love and affection. So this is the absolute nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he is the Akila Rasamrita Murti. Akila Rasamrita Murti, he is the reservoir of all rasa, all transcendental rasa. So rasa means certain type of taste, just like when we eat very nice tasty foodstuffs, we get a certain taste. And that taste gives us a certain type of pleasure. Just like if you eat nice halava, you get a very nice taste on your tongue. Isn't it? Parusha, you can tell. If you eat nice halava, if you eat nice curd sabji, so many different things, you get various types of tastes. And these tastes, they're very succulent and they're very pleasurable. They give you pleasure. Some people can eat all day long, no problem. So there's very nice tasting. Now we can understand that there are many varieties of taste. Many, many varieties. The whole material world is full of rasa. So many different types of rasa. Somebody is having a friendship with someone. Some is in the mood of anger with someone. Some is in the mood of conjugal. Just like we see, people are very attracted to conjugal love affairs. And there is parental rasa. These things are very amazing, because where do they come from? They don't come from dead matter. Just like we see, if you have two lovers dead, many times they die together in a car crash or something. They're not loving each other when you find them. Rather, they are separated. Consciousness is separated. So the thing which is having the relationship is consciousness. Very simple. Even a child can understand. It doesn't require a PhD in philosophy, does it? That the thing which you're is enjoying or detesting, whatever it is, in sukha dukkha, in the material world, whoever's having happiness or distress, it is the consciousness. So that consciousness is coming from the absolute realm. It is coming from the spiritual realm. It is not a relative thing. Although in the material world, consciousness is manifested through the limitations of matter. Just like we see that these different five rasas, they are all pervading. They are everywhere, isn't it? They're all pervading. Throughout every single aspect of the creation that we can observe, we will find these five rasas. If you go right down into deep ocean, you'll find it. If you go up in the sky, if you travel up to the Himalayas, if you go to the Bay of Bengal, across to Hong Kong, to China, Japan, you will find always there these five types of rasa in every single element. In other words, you go up in the mountains, you find the goats, they're having relationship with each other. You come down, you'll find that the villagers, they're having relationship. You dive in the water, the fishes are having relationship with each other. You go into the earth, you'll find the worms are having relationship with each other. There's mother worm, father worm, baby worms, friend worms, enemy worms. Isn't it? So it's not some sort of sentimental. It's very scientific that this rasa actually comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Akila Rasamrita Murti. He is the shelter of all rasa. He is the Murti. He is the deity of all rasa. Therefore, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yaya Mam Prapadyante, as the living entities surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. Everyone is surrendering. Of course, as I said, that in the material world, these rasas are going on with matter. Just like when you fall in love with a beautiful girl, you're falling in love with some earth, water, mucus, stool, pus, all these things. You're actually falling in love with that thing, isn't it? So when the soul leaves, that thing becomes very disgusting. Oh, look what I got left with, isn't it? I was looking for something, but I got the wrong thing. So when these relationships in the material world are pervertedly manifested through matter, therefore these relationships are both limited, their limited capacity, and also they're transitory. They're transitory. They're not the proper manifestation of relationship. Because in the material world, you have a relationship with just like when you were at school, you had a friend relationship, but now that friendly relationship, it's no longer there. Because the young boy turns into a young man, to an old man, etc. So what you have to do is that you have to keep changing the relationship. When the child is very young and you're very young, you both maybe went to the Boy Scouts or whatever together. But then as you become middle-aged, you can't do the same things together, isn't it? You found two pot-bellied middle-aged-year-old men going down the Boy Scouts, or the Boy Cubs. It would look very silly. The relationship would look silly, isn't it? Because the body, the matter has transformed. It has changed according to the influence of time. So that time is changing everything in the material world. So in the material world, these relationships are not substantial. They're not substantial because they are based on the limitation. Just like if you try to have a relationship with matter, you become very, very limited. We are all very, very limited, isn't it? We're very, very limited. Because we have been, since time immemorial, absorbing our enjoying capacity into matter. We have been trying to have a relationship with matter. And therefore, we have never been satisfied, and neither has anyone satisfied us. Or have we satisfied anyone. So we can see how the philosophy of Vedantic philosophy is very scientific, because all of those relationships, they are all meant for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of God. Actually, they are, just like here Prabhupada says, that this the different types of relationship, they are actually meant for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of God. So therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is showing how the Supreme Lord is very wonderful. Because Krishna, although everything is resting on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of the universes, all of the entire cosmic manifestation, there are billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of universes coming from His body. And He is controlling, maintaining and destroying all of that cosmic arrangement. And yet, He is being the servant of Arjuna. So this is very bewildering, because everyone's idea of God is that God is all-powerful. Everybody identifies God mostly in the concept of power, strength. These are very mundane conceptions of God. Because God's power and strength, they are manifested in the material world. So therefore people, by this observation, speculation, they tend to think that, well, at least God should be very strong. He should be very powerful. Therefore they say, Allah Akbar, that God is very great. How great? How great is very, very difficult to understand, because in terms of greatness, we cannot actually even begin to comprehend. So we just say He's very great. But at the same time, nobody has ever fallen in love with a planet. Planets are very great, aren't they? If you see planets floating in the sky, They're very wonderful. Big planets. But who's ever fallen in love with one? Who's actually had a loving relationship? Just like the sky is very, very vast. But no one's ever fallen in love with the sky. Or even fallen in love with the ocean in terms of these five rasas. Nobody's got a friendly relationship with the ocean. Nobody's got a madhurya, conjugal relationship with the ocean, or a planet, or the sky. So therefore, in actuality, by analysis, we can understand that it is not possible to love matter. Matter on its own is a demonstration of the almighty power of God, this Bala Shakti. But at the same time, the intimacy is not there. There is more in the awe and reverence. This concept of awe and reverence, therefore most religions, they are based upon the idea of awe and reverence. But this is actually, more of shantaras, neutrality. So we find that most of the religions, they are not able to bring the living entity any further than this shantaras. So therefore they are on a very limited plane, because neutrality, there is no friendship, there is no actual even servitude. Of course, servitude is also not possible unless you know who you're serving. You must know the object of service in order to serve. Just like if you bring me milk and I don't like milk, then is that service? You see? You have to know actually my personality in order to render me all types of pleasurable services. And we see that in some religions they can't even make their mind up whether God is a he or a she. So therefore it's going to be very hard. Because if you do something for God and it turns out it was a she, not a he, then your services may not at all be appreciated. Because everyone knows that a male is completely different in taste to a female in many, many ways. So therefore, the Bhagavad is supreme because it actually explains the personality of God. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam means the beautiful activities of the Supreme Personality of God. And these activities of the Lord, when He comes into the material world, they are to be studied very, very scientifically, because they give different indications of the nature of God. Just like with Bhishmadev was in the relationship of servitude. So even though Bhishmadev was well acquainted with all the different relationships that Krishna had, even the conjugal relationship, but still he was attracted to servitude, because his nature was that he liked to fight with Krishna. So he had the desire to fight with Krishna. That was his service. So many people may feel that fighting is not really a very appropriate type of service, to fight with someone. But this is showing also that God is completely inconceivable, because nobody ever thinks that God would like to fight. It's not something that in religion you kind of think that, well, God likes to go out and have a good scrap. He likes to have a good fight. But that propensity to fight is in us because God has that propensity. That's why we have the propensity. So therefore we are secondary reflections of God. We are not the original thing. So when it says that in the Christian idea that God made man in his own liking to his own image, the understanding of God is that he is a personality. And personality, because he's unlimited. Therefore the Supreme Lord has unlimited characteristics. Advaita Machutya Manadam Ananta Rupam. He has unlimited, expansions. Just like we are worshipping Panchatapa. These are five divisions, five expansions of the Lord. In the form of Lord Baladeva, he is manifesting the entire spiritual world. In the form of Advaita as Mahavishnu, he's expanding the entire material cosmic manifestation. in the form of Gadadhar, as Srimati Radharani. He's manifested in the Yoga Maya, the entire spiritual world, and in the form of Shivas, he is manifesting the Jiva Tattva. So these are the Pancha Tattva, the five different divisions of the Supreme Personality of God. So therefore, when God comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes to show the five different natures of the Supreme Lord. And what is the nature of those different tattvas is that all of them are the extension or the expansion of the Lord's pleasure potency. So Krishna's business is only to enjoy. We see that in the material world, the living entity, he also expands his pleasure. Pleasure is always something which expands by variegatedness. Just like if we want to expand our pleasure, we expand it by variegatedness, isn't it? Just like if you live in a cell with four walls, then you're not going to have much of a happy time, are you? If you live by yourself in a cell with four walls, your pleasure is going to be very, very limited to the four walls. So what you do is, we build a nice house with many rooms. Each room has a particular taste. Some room is the television room, others the kitchen room, the prasadam room, the sleeping room, the garage room. So within that house we have a very nice wife. From the wife we have our conjugal, from conjugal relationship we also have some mixture of dasya, servitude, and then we expand, the children come. So with the children there is the dominant relationship, father relationship. Then there is friendship with the neighbors, just like they have the neighbors, they bring their friends around. So this variegatedness is absolutely essential for the pleasure of the living entity. No one can be happy alone. We don't find anyone who by themselves are completely, perfectly happy. Because the living entity is in dire need of rasa. Without relationship, we cannot exist. And we find that even very, very powerful personalities, so many examples we see of big, big personalities, but they are completely conquered by these rasas. Just like this, what was it, this big, I was seeing in one magazine, this, what's his name, Mr. Rambo. Big fella. Sylvester Stallone. So he had a little baby, but that baby became ill. An open heart surgery or something. So he was completely devastated. He was sitting there in this, we're saying he was sitting there day in, day out, day night in, night out, just looking at this little baby. This is my little baby, my little baby. So the heartstrings are completely conquered. Even though that little baby is, there are millions and millions and millions of babies, but that is, that rasa is with that particular baby. Therefore the fatherly instincts, they're in relationship to that particular, and because of that the father becomes conquered by the child. He's actually conquered. So we can understand, Prabhupada says that all of us, we are a fragment of God. We are part and parcel of Krishna, means we are part of the nature of Krishna. So we can understand, just like study of the part can give some indication of the whole. Although the differences in vastness, in magnitude. So even though we are only very infinitesimal parts, but we have the nature of God. So whatever form we assume in the material world, we still see that these relationships, they are capable of conquering. Just like big, big man, he's a big, big businessman, or even President of America, whatever. They are conquered by their children. They are conquered by their wives. They are conquered by love. Everyone is conquered by love. Just like if you go to someone and you're very sweet to them, very nice to them, immediately they become conquered, isn't it? But if you become aggressive, then you'll find that there's a different rasa. So in the material world, we see that the nature of relationships are that they are a certain sweetness. Everyone is looking for this sweetness. We want to have a sweet taste. But the relationships are not pure. They're not pure because the relationship is with matter. And it is based upon exploitation. In the material world, we want relationship, but actually everybody wants everything to be a servant. The husband wants the wife to be a servant. He wants the children to be a servant. He wants his friends to be a servant. He wants the people who work for him to be a servant. He wants everything to serve him. Therefore, if we study the nature of that, we'll find that the predominant relationship in the material world is domination. And yet, when the Supreme Personality comes within the material world, we see the opposite. We see the opposite, that actually he takes the position as the servant of his devotees. Even though he is the dominator, Krishna is the dominator of the entire cosmic manifestation. As he says, out of me, the wind blows out of fear of me. The sun shines out of fear of me. The whole universe operates out of fear of God. And yet he is like becoming like a taxi driver for Arjuna. Very, very menial servant to become a chariot driver. In Vedic civilization, the chariot driver was very, very low class position. He just simply had to do what he was told. Just like the horses. The horses did what they were told, and the chariot driver did what he was told. So go here, go there, go here, go there. It's very, very menial. So we see that when the Lord comes to the material world, he demonstrates actually the different aspects of his nature. One is that in the form as the all-devouring time, he destroyed all of the warriors on the battle of Kurukshetra. So he showed his supreme power, time. Krishna says, time I am, I have destroyed all of these soldiers on this battlefield. They're all destroyed by my glance. So in one sense, Krishna has automatically destroyed everyone. He can destroy everything. But at the same time, the same destroyer is there as the menial servant to Arjuna. Because what is the difference is that the warriors on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they have come into contact with Krishna in a fighting mood. Because they have come in fighting mood, therefore they will be destroyed. And this is also Krishna's benediction. Just like if we can understand that Krishna is absolute all-merciful. Everything about Krishna is absolutely perfect. So if you come to challenge Krishna, then he will also destroy you. The material body is a challenge to the supremacy of God. We should always remember that. Our very body is a manifestation of our arrogance against God. Because we have come here with the challenge that we can lord it over the material world. Therefore Krishna says, yes, as you surrender, I will reward. So your attitude is that I want to lord it over matter. So Krishna says, okay, here's a piece of matter. And you take that piece of matter, the material body, and you try to lord it over my energy. See how you get on. So therefore we see that Krishna is reciprocating with us directly through the material energy. So therefore, we see also in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says how the different types of namam daskriti na mura papadyante naradama maya prita jnanam masuram bhav masita, that there are these different types of atheistic mentalities in the material world. The asura, sura means pious, asura pious means good, and asura means those who are against good, those who are demonic. So the living entity comes into the material world. Actually, we are here to challenge the supremacy, just like Hiranyakashipu. He wanted to challenge the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we are very, very tiny Hiranyakashipus. Because when Hiranyakashipu's eyebrows would move, the demigods would become fearful. When our eyebrows move, what we get is sore eyebrows. Keep going like that. We don't frighten anyone. So we're very, very tiny. We're very pathetic. You see, we're not really much of a challenge to anyone, but to speak of God. So we see that the general nature of the living entity in the material world is that he is trying to somehow or other, by various schemes, the asuras, by various schemes, they're trying to somehow or other have some domination over God's energy. They want to capture some energy. It's like everyone is capturing Lakshmi, isn't it? Everyone has some Lakshmi. They love Lakshmi. How to capture a little Lakshmi, isn't it? So they're making so many schemes how to put Lakshmi in their pocket, how to subject Lakshmi to their motives, their aspirations. So the nature is, the asuras, they create a society based upon domination. The whole concept is that we will somehow or other gain some form of possession. Some people want to possess land, they want to possess a wife, children, a house. They want to possess something, a car, a stereo, anything. And Prabhupada says that the worm, when he's conquering the stool, he also wants to possess the stool, isn't it? We see that they want to also possess worms, the stool worm. So there are different types of domination, which are all relative to the particular type of body. According to our particular type of body, we have capacity. We have a certain amount of limited capacity. Lord Brahma has the capacity to manifest the universe. But we don't have the same capacity. We have a very tiny capacity. So, therefore, we see that this different types of activities in the material world, they are all different types of struggle for existence. They're all struggling. Everyone is struggling. Just like all of those warriors on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they were struggling to achieve something, but they achieved nothing. They achieved nothing. The only good thing that they achieved was that they died in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, by casting his glance over them, he gave them salvation. So therefore, that is very important to understand, that the only actual achievable thing in this world is Krishna consciousness. Because it is the only thing that will actually give you any real benefit. All of these other things in the material world, they will not bring you any real benefit because they have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the soul. They have nothing to do with the soul. Whatever you might try to achieve, whether it's some name or fame or prestige, whether you might become a businessman or a very good husband or a very good lover or a very good friend or a very good servant, you see, categorize, you see so many people, they're very, very good servants. They serve very, very faithfully. For 25, 30, 40 years, they've served the same company. They come in on time. They're never late. George was never late. I've never known George to be late. And then they get a little gold watch or something. That is their result of all 25, 30 years of very astute, very meticulous service. Very, very dedicated service. But what is the result? A little piece of metal. Nothing substantial. And then they die. They die with what? Simply forgotten in the oblivion of time. So there are many, many very faithful servants. Just like Prabhupada said, Mahatma Gandhi, very big servant of India. But what happened? They shot him. It was the Hindus who shot him, the same people that he was trying to help. They put a bullet in him. So that's how people appreciate. The appreciation of the material world. You may render so many very nice services, but the result is wasted, useless. You may have so many nice friendships, just like there are many so-called friendly relationships, and people are very much enthusiastic for this friendship in the material world. But what is that friendship? Friendship. There is no real friendship, because everything is conditional. There are certain sets of conditions for friendship. There are certain conditions to be someone's lover. There are certain conditions. Everything has conditions, because what is the meaning of conditions? What is the meaning of conditions? Can anyone answer? What is the meaning of conditions? Yes, they are limited. The limited conditions. And the basic condition of the material world is exploitation. That is the main condition. Just like everything works on the laws, everything works on the conditions. No one can say, I am above laws, I am above conditions. Relationships do not exist beyond laws. There's laws governing relationships. There are conditions. There are all are predominantly various types of rules, regulations, conditions. But we see with Krishna, one of his pastimes is he wants to have arrows shot at him. So these arrows are coming into his body. They're cutting him. They're wounding him. So therefore it is very extraordinary. Krishna is showing how extraordinary. This is the types of friendship that Krishna has. He wants, just like if we want a friendship with someone, we wouldn't want that they were throwing arrows at our body, isn't it? Suppose you say, okay, let's go out now and here's a gun, you can machine gun me on Hampstead Heath or something. Isn't it? Funny relationship, huh? If you said, come on, let's go out and you can shoot arrows into my body, see how deep you can get them in, how much they can penetrate my body. So that's because all of our relationships, they work on the conditions. That's why you cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's beyond conditional relationship. He has no conditions. There are no conditions. That's why Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I can reward. I can reciprocate. You cannot. You cannot. What can you reciprocate? If you try to reciprocate, just like we see, we try to reciprocate even with a friend. And it takes a whole lifetime of struggle sometimes just to keep a friendly relationship with someone. We try to reciprocate with our children. I see so many, you see so many parents struggling like anything to reciprocate with their children for a relationship, with their wives. They're trying so hard, working day and night, and hour after hour, 24 hours a day to have a relationship with their wife. Isn't it? So much struggle. Actually, most people, they become disgusted with relationships because it's such a struggle, such an effort. It's such an effort even to have friends, to have families, to have lovers. So, what to speak of these other relationships like anger and this chivalry, chivalrous relationships that Krishna has. Sometimes also he has a relationship of anger. But he is capable of relating to everyone within all of the entire cosmic manifestation perfectly and completely. But that is the nature of God. There are how many billions upon billions of universes? How many living entities? Actually, they are sarvagata. The whole living entities, they are unlimitedly all-pervasive. And Krishna can relate to each single individual entity perfectly. So therefore, when Krishna comes to the material world, he is showing in many pastimes so many different aspects. Just like with the battle of Kurukshetra, he was attractive to Bhishma in a certain mood. He was attractive to Arjuna in a certain way. He was attractive to the other Pandavas. He was death personified for Duryodhana and company. He was, he showed so many wonderful, just like when the sun wanted to go down, he stopped the sun going down. You know that story? Who knows that story? Where Krishna stopped the sun. Nobody knows? Come on, someone knows that story. What was the story? Think now. Huh? You know? I can't hear anything you're saying. Speak up. You mean Abhimanyu? Sunset. So therefore if we study these pastimes, Krishna says that anyone who can understand the nature of my transcendental pastimes within the material world, he does not take birth again. So therefore, it is very, very important. Krishna consciousness is a science. So it's an analytical science to analyze how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this rasa tattva is very, very important. How the Lord appears, just like Krishna appears in Vrindavan, in the mood of coward boy. These are very, very difficult subject matter, because within the Vrindavan is the manifestation of the Lord's sweetness. Just like every personality has a certain sweetness, isn't it? Just like there are so many different aspects to a man's personality. And one of them is sweetness, isn't it? Everyone has to have some sweetness. So that sweetness is generally found in the conjugal love affairs. So Vrindavan is where Krishna manifests these full manifestation of this Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, these higher rasas particularly. In the Vaikuntha planets, they're mostly of the Shantya and Dasya, with some mixture of Sakya, but not like in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, there is full manifestation of Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya rasa. So therefore, this is a great science. We should study how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all rasa. He is capable of relating to everyone as they surrender to Krishna, as we approach Krishna. So Krishna consciousness is about approaching Krishna in a very real way, not that some sentimental idea, but we can approach Krishna. And because Krishna is unlimited, he can accept our service in unlimited ways. There's no limitation how we can serve Krishna. We should not think that just because we are not gopis. Many people now, they're aspiring for gopi ras. But we should not think because we're not gopis that therefore unless you're a gopi you can't serve Krishna. This is a ridiculous philosophy, because these type of higher rasas, they are for liberated souls. They're for paramahansas. They're not for us. We're not paramahansa. Is anyone here paramahansa? Then we don't have to worry about paramahansa relationships, because we're not paramahansas, isn't it? Many people, they want to relate to Krishna in the paramahansa level. But first you become paramahansa. You're not paramahansa. If there's such paramahansas, then they can speak about this raganuga bhakti. Raganuga means when you are paramahansa. Then there's no question you can relate with Krishna in these higher rasas. But if you are simply in the modes of ignorance and passion, if you are very much entangled in the material world, then where is the question of paramahansa? You see? This is all raskoda. Because these higher relationships, they come later on. They are the eternal manifestation. But at least in the material world, in whatever capacity. Therefore Krishna says, I created Chatur Varna. I created these varnas and ashrams so that people can serve me according to their varnas and their ashrams. This is the real significance of this, that we have a particular type of tendency, particular type of nature. These are material conditioning, but they are very, very real. You can't just ignore them. They don't exist. So therefore the whole varnashram dharma was to utilize all of the different castes and orders, just like the brahmana, kshatriyas, vaishyas, sudras, the merchants, the teachers, the artisans, so many different types, so that they could all offer their services to Krishna, just like Arjuna. He is offering his service for fighting, for killing. These kshatriyas were like killing machines. They could kill thousands of soldiers. So therefore that is why the Gita is so important, because it's showing that you can utilize everything, the yukta vairagya, you can utilize everything, all of our propensities to serve Krishna. But we must do it out of love. So that relationship is, the love is the important factor. Binding factor between Arjuna and Krishna and Bhishma Dev and Krishna was that they did everything out of love. So you can even try to kill Krishna out of love and he will accept it. What other relationship is there where you can try to kill someone? Is there such a relationship where you can try to chop someone up out of love and they will accept it? So that is the difference, you see. The difference is that we are depositing our relationships in the material world and we are getting very limited returns because the actual entity himself is incapable of reciprocating. So if you want to love someone by trying to kill them, they can't reciprocate. They become angry, isn't it? But Krishna didn't become angry. It says that the arrows of Bhishma Dev were like love bites. They were causing him ecstasy. And the more Bhishma Dev tried to kill Krishna, the more ecstatic Krishna became. You see? And then Bhishma Dev, when he saw Krishna coming at him in anger, he was just stunned with ecstasy. Krishna was coming to kill him. So he was actually reaching the, pinnacle, or the height of rasa. So here we see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can reciprocate with any rasa you care to have. But of course, we should not artificially all try to be killing Krishna. That's not our business. That's again, Paramahansa. Paramahansa. Bhishma Dev is Mahajan. He's Paramahansa. Therefore, he can attack Krishna. We may not do it with love, you see. Just like Mother Yashoda, she's having a stick. She wants to beat Krishna with a stick. She's challenging, you do that again and I'll beat you. Just like Ananda Maharaj chastising Krishna. Krishna is chastising the whole universe. He is chastising the entire cosmic manifestation, and yet Mother Yashoda is frightening him so much that tears are streaming down his eyes. So, he wants to be chastised. Krishna likes to be chastised. He's God. He's killing everything. But when his devotees chastise him, then he becomes happy. So when Bhishma Dev is chastising Krishna, that listen Krishna, you protected Arjuna, I'm very angry with you. You see, Bhishma Dev was very angry because he was cheated by Krishna. Krishna is a very good cheat. So when Duryodhana accused Bhishma Dev that you are not fighting very strongly against these Pandavas, you are very affectionate to them. I know, because they are your grandchildren, etc. You are not very aggressive. You are Bhishma Dev. You can destroy anyone. You are like a lion. So then Bhishma Dev became insulted. He said, "You give me 5 arrows, I will destroy all of these Pandavas tomorrow." And Bhishma Dev was known that if he ever gave his promise, vrata, that he had the benediction that any promise he gave could not be broken. So then Duryodhana became very pleased. Oh, this is wonderful. I've gotten Bhishma Dev to promise to kill all the Pandavas. So he said, because he was a little worried, he said, okay, you give me, Bhishma Dev said, you give me 5 arrows, I will, with these arrows I will kill them. So Duryodhana took the arrows. But Krishna, because he's all pervasive, he knew the whole story. So he told Arjuna that to go to Duryodhana, Duryodhana already owes you some favor. If he asks you, what is that favor? You say, give me these 5 arrows. So when Arjuna went to Duryodhana after the battle at night time, he was received very nicely by Duryodhana. Even though Duryodhana was enemy, number one, but he received them very lovingly because they had a relationship. They were cousin brothers. But at the same time, there was also, this is the relation. Rasa is very deep stuff, very, very difficult to understand. Even Duryodhana, he wanted to always usurp the kingdom of the Pandavas. But then here, he was saying to Arjuna, you want me to finish the battle? Sarcastically, nobody was saying, you want me to stop everything? I'll stop. Arjuna said, no, I have not come for that. He said, then why have you come? So he explained to him, he said, Arjuna said, oh, please give me these 5 arrows. So Duryodhana, because he'd made a promise, he had to give. You see the chivalry? This is the real nature of Kshatriya. Even though he knew that his purpose was defeated, but that is the nature of Kshatriya. He can never go back on his word. So all of these qualities, they are there, created by the Varnashram Dharma. Kshatriya, he could never refuse anything on his word. So therefore, when Bhishmadeva heard that this has happened, he became very angry, very angry. And he promised again, he said, Krishna has foiled my promise. So I promise today that unless Krishna protects Arjuna, I will kill him. So he made that vow, second vow, against the first one. Because Krishna defeated the first one because he'd taken away the arrows that the promise was based on. He gave the promise on the five arrows, and now the arrows were gone. So this time he promised that he would destroy Arjuna unless Krishna intervened. So then that day, Bhishmadeva, he fought like a lion. He could not be stopped by anyone. And he completely destroyed the chariot of Arjuna. And he also put so many arrows in the body of Krishna. So when Arjuna was just to be killed, like a young deer being killed by a lion, then he was defeated completely. He was ready to destroy Arjuna. Then Krishna picked up the chariot wheel, like a Sudarshan Chakra. And he ran at Bhishmadeva in great anger. Great anger, because he was so angry that Arjuna was going to be hurt, because Arjuna is his very dear friend. So he ran at Bhishma with great anger to destroy Bhishmadeva, and then Bhishma immediately surrendered to that form. So these are all the different intricacies of the nature of Krishna. That Krishna actually, he is Kila Rasamrita Murti. He is the reservoir. Actually, all of our services, all of our rasa, it is all actually going to Krishna, because all of this energy, Maya Dakshena Prapriti, all of this energy, it is Krishna's energy, Krishna's Maya. So all we're doing is we are serving Krishna in perverted rasa. We are still serving Krishna, just like when we serve the boy or we serve the girl or the child. These are all Krishna's energies. Krishna says, earth, water, fire, air, ether, they're all my energies, they're all Krishna. Although this energy is me, Krishna says, I am not it. And yet again, I am it. So this is the transcendental nature of God. And we are all of us, we are surrendering to Krishna in separation, separate energy. We're still serving Krishna. We're still giving our love to Krishna, but we are giving it indirectly. Indirectly. Because there is nothing but Krishna. And therefore, instead of foolishly misdirecting our attention to Krishna's inferior energy, we should redirect our energy. Just like if a man is serving a company, he's also serving the director of the company, isn't it? He's also serving the director, but indirectly. You see? Indirectly. So we are serving Krishna's agent, Maya. Maya is the agency of Krishna. So we are serving Maya very sincerely. People are very dedicated. I've seen them up until 4 in the morning. They're very, very, very dedicated. They're even running here and there. They're not sleeping even. So they're very dedicated servants. They're very dedicated. So we should become like that. We should become like that. We should be up every night, not able to sleep. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami, he couldn't sleep even half hour, because he was so much dedicated for Krishna's service. So in the material world, people are very dedicated. We should admire their dedication. We should actually respect them, that they're much more dedicated than us. They're getting up. Most people get up very early in the morning. They're going in the motorway traffic, rushing, gushing, here and there, here and there. Because they're very, very sincere. They're very, very sincere about their service. So the nature of the living entity is to be very sincere, but unfortunately they're simply misdirected. So our business is to redirect. We have to redirect. Therefore brahmana. Brahmana means to bring everything to Brahman, to bring everything to Krishna, to redirect everything to the highest plane. They are busy on the lower plane, on the transitory, transformable plane. But we have to bring them to the eternal plane. The eternal plane of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, our business is simply to add Krishna. We don't need to change anything. We need to add something. Most religions, they say, change this, change that. No, no, we need to add something. As soon as you add that one factor, everything becomes perfect. People, they can fight. Yes, Prabhupada said, let them fight, but they should fight for Krishna out of love. Let them be friends, but be friends with the devotees, be friends to Krishna. All of these rasas can be perfectly found in Krishna. So therefore, the business of a devotee is to redirect people's attention, that to simply add something. Just like Rupa Goswami, he is adding yukta vairagya. Everyone in spiritual life, they need to practice vairagya. The yukta means the utilizing. We should utilize everything. So one should not think because I'm utilizing something that's inferior service. No. It is not, just like Krishna says, that patram pushpam palantayam, this flower, water, these are inferior things. They're not superior things. Flower, what is this flower? It's inferior. Just made up of a few little chemicals. This flower, water, leaf. You see, they're not very important things. So it's not that they're, that Krishna is saying that, unless you're gopi, you can only serve me. No, he's saying that you pick up some flower, some water, some leaf, you offer it to me with bhakti, with devotion, and then I will accept. So our business is to utilize everything. We are in the material world, we have material bodies, we've got material consciousness. We kind of get away from these things. We're not going to change just because put on a tilak and dhoti. It's not so quick. So therefore our business is to utilize all of this energy, everything, to give pleasure to Krishna, to give Krishna pleasure. And Krishna, because in case there's any doubt, he comes himself as the Panchatantra. He comes as Panchatantra to give us directly how he receives pleasure in this age, and that is by chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this Sankirtan movement is the network of Lord Chaitanya. It is the network of Lord Chaitanya to engage everyone. Everyone. Just like with the Brahmana in South India, he wanted to give up his Brahman position, family position, and come follow Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, no, stay where you are. Wherever you are, stay there, but you simply add this chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. You add this Krishna consciousness. So we should also do the same, similar thing, that we have to add something. By adding this Krishna consciousness to people's lives, then they can carry on with their various type of rasas in the material world. But they should understand that all of these rasas, they're actually, they are relating to Krishna anyway. So we should utilize that propensity to approach Krishna. To approach Krishna in our capacity, either as Shanta, as neutrality, or Dasya, Sakya, as higher rasas come when we're more purified. In the lower rasa, this Shanta, Dasya are prominent. So is there any questions at all? Anyone have any questions?
Were you speaking about that? Are you looking at these chanting to all God? Why is it that Krishna, he arranges it like that, where we're living at the original of the Sabbath of Krishna, and wants to enjoy that Krishna pleases his scripture? What is the reason that arranges it so that we're living at the original of the Sabbath of Krishna, and wants to enjoy that Krishna pleases his scripture?
Well, because you see, the living entity is very microscopic, 1/10,000 tip of the hair. He's very, very tiny. And therefore, in actuality, he is completely and totally controlled by energy. He's not the energetic. He's part of the energy. So the energy itself is always the dominator of the living entity. Therefore, the living entity, he is ashrayi. He has to take shelter. So if he takes shelter of the spiritual energy, then accordingly, Krishna reciprocates on the spiritual plane. But if he takes shelter of the material energy, then accordingly Krishna reciprocates on the material plane. So the living entity, because he's very, very tiny, he is always dependent on the arrangement of Krishna through his energies. So it is not that all living entities are very, very limited, because they're very powerful demigods. by our capacity, they're unlimited. Just like Brahma, if he can create universe, whole universe, planetary system, then he's a very big, big personality. So the nature of the material world is that the material world is an extension of God. Therefore, the material energy also reciprocates accordingly. As you surrender to Maya, she rewards accordingly. You see? So people, to surrender to Maya means that you have to render a very nice service. If you render nice services to Maya, then she will give you so many rewards. You may become big, big man, big, big businessman, big, big this, big, big that. If your service is not very good, then she doesn't give you very good rewards. And if your service is useless, you don't get anything. It's practical, you can see it here. If you go out and you work very hard, you may get some money. But if you lie around in your sleeping bag in some hallway, then you're not going to get anything. So actually, nature rewards accordingly. The law of karma is of cause and effect, action and reaction. So according to your actions, you get certain type of reactions. And if the quality of your actions are good, you get good reaction. If the quality of your actions are passionate, you get a passionate reaction. And if the quality of your actions are ignorant, you get a very ignorant reaction. So according to the three modes of material nature, Krishna is rewarding accordingly. Some people, they are going up, some people in the middle, and some people are going down. That's why the material universe is higher, middle, and lower. It is not that it's all lower. The lower plane is very restricted, but the higher plane is very wonderful. The planetaries of the demigods, heavenly planets, very, very wonderful arrangement. So you have to take a whole larger view. If you become a big, big demigod, then you can have big, big say. Your restrictions are much, much less. Just like in a society, if you become president of America, then you can do wonderful things. So what some people would say, well, the president's not very limited, is he? But at the same time, everything is relative. Everything is completely relative. So the relativity of nature is that someone may appear to be, just like in comparison to an ant, you're probably unlimited. An ant could not conceive. Can you imagine an ant trying to figure out how people can fly around in 747s, eating dinner and watching movies? It's probably very, you know, trying to explain to an ant that there's actually these human beings and they fly around in the air in big jumbos. And they've got these big mansions and they live inside them. Isn't it? From an ant's point of view, it's incomprehensible. It probably blow his brains out. So here's you thinking how limited you are, but here's the poor ant thinking, God, that guy is a giant. Look at his powers, they're wonderful. So within the realm of relativity, yes, everyone is very, very limited. But at the same time, even Brahma is extremely limited in terms of God. But at the same time, according to qualification, then Krishna reciprocates through his energies. So there is higher and lower forms of services. You see, in the material creation, everything is based on service. Just like in the spiritual world, everything is based on service. So if you render some nice services to Maya, then she rewards. Just like that guy who did 25 years in the company, he got a gold watch and a pension. So he got very nice. Now he doesn't have to work so hard, and he gets his little pension every week, and he looks at his little gold watch and he thinks, wow, I've done it. I've achieved what I was actually aiming for. My whole life I worked for this. I'm going to enjoy now. I deserve it. You see? Then he has a nervous breakdown and dies or something. So Maya is a big cheater. That cheating also of Maya is actually affection, because Krishna has shown us that, yes, you cannot, independent of me, I am the transcendental autocrat. You cannot have any independence. You cannot. So therefore, all of these frustrations and limitations, they're there because Krishna doesn't want us to go too far astray. So even Lord Brahma has restrictions, even the great demigods. That's why when Krishna comes, you can get a glimpse into the higher planetary systems. They're also in anxiety. Indra is wondering, I'm going to lose my throne, or whatever. There are so many problems up there as well. Even though they're on a much higher plane, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Krishna says, from the higher planets to the lowest, they're all the same thing. Miseries are going on. Problems are going on. So it's only a relative. The ant has a problem moving the sugar. And Brahma has a problem with moving some demons or whatever. So everyone has problem because no one has total, complete control. Nobody has complete control. But everybody aspires for that. Everybody would like to have complete control. That's our nature. We want to be total and complete, completely perfect, because God is completely perfect. So we want to be completely perfect. We want to be completely in control. We want to be completely happy. We want to be the complete center of everything. We want to be God. But we cannot be God because it's a mathematical impossibility. We are infinitesimal and He's infinite. So therefore we can only have, just like Prabhupada says, when the mother, the child becomes envious, it wants a baby. But Prabhupada said there's no chance of the child having a baby. So there's no way the mother can give the child a baby. So he gives it a plastic little doll with some hair and some nappies and some clothes and the cooking utensils. So that then the little baby, she can imitate the mother, you see. But the baby is quite happy with the fact that she's the mother. You try and convince a baby that it's not the mother of that child, they get very disturbed. No, I am the mother. This is my child. I'm cooking chapati. I'm making sabji. So this is the nature of illusion, you see. That actually within the illusionary energy of Krishna, all possibilities are there. If you want to become like God, then you can become like that. But these are all of them are just like the little child with the plastic platings. And that's the same thing. The material energy is a substitution. It is not a real energy in the sense that the spiritual world is the reality. The material world is the, as Shakespeare put it, it is the stage where everyone is acting. The energy is there to give us some facilities for acting. Acting out our little egotistic, on the egotistic plane, we act out our fantasies. We're fantasizing. Just like the big king, he's sitting on the throne, he's governing over millions of soldiers or whatever, but when he has to pass through, he has to pass through it. He's got to get off his throne, go in the toilet and pull his pants down or whatever. So he's humbled, because that's the nature of the energy. The energy itself is very embarrassing, you see? It's embarrassing. The same king may be sitting on his throne, but if he falls asleep, he also dribbles. It may be a royal dribble, but it's also a dribble. So we're all little dribblers in the material world. We're just little dribblers, but we have these fantasies. We create all these mirages in the desert, you see? And then, finally, Krishna comes in the form of death to remind us, listen, okay, your time's up. You had a good show. Now it's time, the realities are here again. You've got to get back to understanding that you're not God. I'm sorry, but that time again. So then they all become big king, big this, big that. Then they all become just like this Nixon. What has he got? This Alzheimer's. What's he got? This disease. Huh?
Alzheimer's.
Old-timers. Alzheimer's. So he's got this disease now. He can't. He won't be able to even know who his wife is. Everything will be taken away. Everything is taken away. So it's just like, you lend someone, the child, you lend the things that the child can pretend, and then you take the things away again. So, okay, now it's time to wake up. So Maya is there to wake you up also. She will give you so many fantasies, but then she'll say, okay, the game's over now, it's time to wake up. So she smashes you with Adi Devaka, Adi Bhautika, Adi Aplaka. These are the prongs, you know, she sticks into you from every side, from every angle. She comes at you within the mind, within the body, from other living entities, from material energy, from anything you approach. She will stick you. She will pinch you. She will hurt you. And that hurt is Krishna's affection. Because actually he wants you to wake up. Don't spend millions and millions of lifetime playing games. Because he wants you to come back to home, back to God. So therefore that is his kindness. Otherwise he could leave us here. What does he need us there? He doesn't need us. You think the spiritual world has gone vacant because we left? No. It's all going on. Krishna's business is to enjoy. He doesn't need us there. We need to be there. And Krishna is aware of that. Not that God needs us, we need him. Okay, then we'll stop there. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuranam Ki Jaya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.